Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. How can we take these Gospels and apply them into our daily living so that we can become reflections of God to this world? That's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us today. Before we get into our show, it's time for viewer mail. Our first letter coming from William. Dear Father Chapin, I'm an inmate in a Massachusetts state prison. I just discovered your show on Channel 38 in Gardner, Massachusetts, which is close to Boston. I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoy your program and that it helps me when I go to Mass at 1 o'clock on Sundays. I would like to be able to receive your newsletter each month. I can have emails sent to me, but sadly they cost 25 cents by the sender. And when I send out emails, 25 as well. Thank you for all that you preach. I may be wrong, but it sounds like you're from the South. I lived in New Orleans, traveled all over Louisiana, and you sound just like all those people that live down there. I also lived in Virginia for 8 years. That might be it. Sincerely, William, P.S. While at this time I cannot send cash, I can send stamps. 10 to a book, if that helps, please let me know. Well, first of all, William, I'm so happy that you are watching. We don't email the newsletter. We mail it, and hopefully they will accept your newsletter. Yeah, I was born in Chicago, raised in Connecticut, but when I was 10 years old, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm a bit of a mutt. So yeah, I guess I got a little bit of that Southern drawl. And as far as the stamps, yeah, well, yeah, sure, I could use stamps, but I'm just glad you're watching. It means a lot to me. Thank you, William. Our next letter coming from a convent in Cleveland, Ohio. Dear Father Chapin, many of our sisters at St. Joseph are enriching our daily lives with your Sunday homilies and joyful personality. Well, thank you. May the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit keep you strong, healthy, and happy. And then she ended with a prayer. Dear God, take special care of Father Chapin and his ministry at Daily Living. Keep him strong, healthy, and happy. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot to me that you're watching, Sister Audrey. Let's get to our gospel. Some Sadducees, those who deny there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, there were 7 brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. The second and the third married her, and likewise, all 7 died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all 7 have been married to her. Jesus said to them, The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain the coming age and the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given to marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Wow. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk all about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we're going to talk about heaven, a place, dare I say, we all hope to go someday, but is shrouded in great mystery. Heaven, that better place you often hear whispered in funeral homes. Heaven, rooted in the premise that this life is not all that there is. And of course, that's true. We're merely passing through. And the fact that there's something beyond this earthly realm is pretty evident to even the most casual observer. I mean, even if you take the religion out of it completely and look just at near-death experiences throughout the world, across many different cultures and languages, you will see common themes continue to rise up time and time again. This sense of floating with great peace, the idea of moving towards the light, the idea of seeing family and friends that have gone before us. But what exactly awaits us on the other side? Well, we don't really know. It's a question that mankind has wrestled with since the dawn of time. Egyptian pharaohs were buried with a boat that was thought to carry them over the river Styx into the next life. The Nordic soldier was buried with armor and horse. The Native American Indian buried with bow and arrow and pony. Heaven, the afterlife, shrouded in mystery. And of course, we all kind of have our ideas of what heaven might look like. I imagine if you asked 10 people, you'd probably get 10 different answers. Because like I said, it's shrouded in great mystery. And while the scriptures do talk about heaven from time to time, it's never really definitive. It's never really, really clear. It's always something along the lines of, well, the kingdom of God is like, as Jesus points through allegory or parable. But our gospel today is a rare exception because our gospel gives us just a little glimpse, just a little taste out of the corner of our eye of what heaven must be like, or what Jesus refers to as the age to come. But even our gospel is a bit vague, as it presents more questions than answers. Why is this the case? Well, imagine if you're a parent of a young child, and let's just say that your child is in kindergarten. And one day the school calls up and say, well, you know, Parents' Day is coming up and we'd really like to have you come in and teach the class. So you go in and maybe you're a bit nervous. You're thinking, gee whiz, I mean, I wonder what they want me to talk about. I mean, maybe I'll talk about how important it is to listen to your parents. Or maybe I'll talk about the value of sharing, you know, something obviously on their level, you know, something they can grasp. But when you get there, the teacher says, I want you to teach the class about quantum physics with an emphasis on string theory. Really? Are you serious? Quantum physics? I mean, I don't even understand quantum physics. How am I going to teach kindergartens about quantum physics? Where would I even start? How would I even explain what the word quantum means? Or for that matter, physics. I mean, let's be serious. Science itself does not fully understand the complexities of the world around us. I mean, as we stare into the telescope or the microscope, we might get a few pieces here or there. We might develop a few theories here or there. But honestly, we don't fully understand the complexity of the world that surrounds us. So how can we expect to fully understand on this side of life the mysteries of heaven? And the answer to that question is, we can't. Which is why Jesus speaks in allegory and parables. Because the finite mind cannot fully comprehend an infinite concept. All we can really do is point to it. All we can really do is catch a glimpse, which is what our gospel does today. But before we get into it, I just must say in passing that it is our human nature to believe that this life is not all that there is, that there's something out there. It was certainly what the majority of the Jewish people during the time of Jesus believed. We see several references to the afterlife in the Old Testament. Consider Psalm 16, where King David writes, "Therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." I mean, what is that if not heaven? Like I said, we see references to heaven throughout the Old Testament. So most people throughout history have believed that there is a life after our death. But our gospel today features a group of people who don't believe in life after death. They do not believe in heaven because they do not believe in a resurrection. They're known as the Sadducees. They believe that this life right here, that's it. There was nothing beyond our current material experience. And when you died, they put you in the ground and boom, that was it. It was over. And that's why they were sad, you see. Now, these Sadducees are a very small group of people, but don't let their size fool you. They might be very small, but they're very wealthy. And they wield a tremendous amount of influence and power in Israel. They were large and in charge running the temple. The high priest himself was a Sadducee. The majority of the Sanhedrin, which of course is the ruling body of Jerusalem, were Sadducees. So like I said, they might be small, but they wield great power and influence. Now, they don't believe in the resurrection, and there's a reason that they don't believe in the resurrection. And the reason is, they took a very strict and literal interpretation of the Pentateuch, which the Pentateuch, of course, are the first five books of Moses. Now, you could say, and I'd be just the guy to do it, that they were the original fundamentalists. And since nowhere in the five books of the Pentateuch is resurrection mentioned, for them, it does not exist. Consequently, they lived their life like there was no tomorrow, because in their minds, there was no tomorrow. So all their focus was on this present age. And what motivates this present age? Well, according to the great Thomas Aquinas, one of the doctors of our church, our present age is motivated by four things: wealth, power, prestige, pleasure. And you don't got to look too far to see that this is certainly the case. We live in a world that is consumed by this present age. We live in a world where many of us live like we're never going to die. Consequently, we die like we never lived. Now, we might think about life after death occasionally, maybe at a funeral, but it's certainly not our focus. Because for the great majority of us, our focus is carpe diem, seize the day. Let us chase the pleasure of the moment. And anything and everything is fair game as long as you don't hurt somebody. But getting back to the Sadducees, today they got a problem, and it's a big problem. Jesus, who's made quite a splash and a name for himself, has come into Jerusalem. Big crowds. And as he enters the temple, he almost single-handedly starts a riot as he overthrows the money changer tables, screaming at the top of his lungs that they have turned his father's house into a den of thieves. Now, as bad as that was, they got a bigger problem. And that problem was the miracles. Because, my friends, there is nothing quite as stubborn as a good miracle. And of course, Jesus has recently raised Lazarus from the dead, so the word is out. So they convened an emergency meeting in the Situation Room with the Sanhedrin to deal with the Jesus problem, because this is definitely a situation. Now, I must say, in passing, it's pretty unbelievable that somebody would raise somebody from the dead and somehow that's a problem, but it was. So the Sanhedrin meets and they say, here is this man performing many signs, and if we let him go on like this, everybody's going to believe in him, and the Romans will come in and take away both our temple and our nation from us. Now, that's their concern. And this is when the high priest Caiaphas speaks up and says, you're a bunch of fools. You know nothing at all. Don't you realize it is better for one man to die for the people than for a whole nation to perish? Now, I don't think that the Sanhedrin were really interested in killing Jesus from the beginning. I mean, they probably thought that it would bring on way too much heat from the Romans. But now things are turning. He's assaulting their business. He's calling them a den of thieves. And he's messing with the money. And my friends, you don't want to mess with the money. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking about how, well, the religious leadership, they got a problem. And it's a big problem. And that problem is Jesus. Now, when I'm talking about the religious leadership, I'm talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you have to understand, these people are not friends. Okay. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they hated each other. But you know what they hated even more? Jesus. Oh, yeah, they hated Jesus because he was a threat to everything they stood for. So they meet to discuss the Jesus problem, and it's decided that he's got to go. So today in our gospel, they're going after him. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus. Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, we know this to be true. It's known as the Levirate marriage, Levirate being Latin for brother-in-law. We find it in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Now, keep in mind that the Lord has promised land to the tribes of Israel. That's his will. But if you don't have an heir, how's that going to happen? Which is why they came up with this Levirate rule. But then here comes the riddle. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman, but died childless. Then the second and the third married, and likewise all seven died childless. Finally also the woman died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? So, my first question is, who is this woman, this black widow? I mean, don't you think people might be a little suspicious? But of course, this is not a serious question. This is a gotcha question perfected on cable news, okay? This is like, well, if God's so powerful and he can do anything, could he create a rock so heavy that he himself can't lift? You know, that kind of question. I can just see the smirk on the Sadducee's face as he's asking this question. But Jesus, he's not fake. He says, the children of this age marry and are given to marriage. But those who are deemed worthy to attain the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, for they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. So here we have it. I mean, a small glimpse of what heaven must be like. What does it tell us? Well, first of all, it's going to be unbelievable, right? Now, in the coming age, in the resurrection of the dead, they neither marry nor are given to marriage. Now, so let's talk for just a moment about marriage, about these relationships. Some of you out there might be in a very good marriage. And the idea of being married to your spouse in heaven is that's a wonderful idea. But others might be suffering in a difficult marriage. And of course, in the cultural context of this gospel, the women that are given to marriage, they didn't really have a choice in the matter. But whatever's going on, all of that is over. Because you see, the sacrament of marriage, which is described as two becoming one, is a foreshadowing of heaven and the beatific vision. Because in heaven, we become one with God. We were created in the image of God. And through Jesus Christ, we have been recreated as sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of eternity. And while we're here on earth, as Christians, we are called to live in the Spirit of God. That is Romans chapter 8. But this is not our home. No. We are spiritual vagabonds waiting to go home. And our final home is God. And that's where heaven is. So heaven is not just a place. Heaven is the fullness of our relationship with God, where we become the bride of Christ. And how that looks, well, I don't know. I don't pretend to have the answer. Like a kindergartner faced with quantum physics, it's beyond me. But let's get back to our gospel. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. For to him all are alive. So, this is really cool, all right? Jesus is not debating their silly riddle, okay? No. He goes right to the Holy Scriptures, which happen to be the only thing that they really believe in anyway, right? So he goes right for the Scriptures. Now, in the Scriptures, Exodus chapter 3, God describes himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Okay, but watch this. Okay, Jesus says, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all are alive. What does that really mean? Well, getting back to the Sadducees for a moment. Like I said, they're running the temple. They're large and in charge. But in 70 AD, something very dramatic happened. Rome came in and just decimated Jerusalem. And in doing so, they completely leveled and destroyed the temple. So everything was gone. And when I say everything, I'm talking about all the things that the Sadducees had believed in. All of that gone when the temple was destroyed. Everything they had worked for, all their laws, all their theology, all their power, all their practices, all of it gone, dead, never to come back. And my friends, this should serve as a real warning for us, because you have to understand, whether you know it or not, we are living temples of the Spirit. But if we live as sons and daughters of humanity, when our temple is destroyed, meaning when we die, just like the Sadducees who vanished, taking everything they believed with them, so will we. But if we allow Jesus to regenerate us in the spirit and not live as sons and daughters of humanity, but rather sons and daughters of eternity, well, then as the great spiritual writer Catherine of Siena put it, all the way to heaven is heaven. So I guess the question remains, what about you, my friend? Are you a son or daughter of this age? Or are you a son or daughter of the age to come? Yes, my friend, that is the question. This week I challenge you, find a mirror and give yourself a good long look and then ask yourself two questions. Number one, what age am I living for? Am I living solely for this present age? Or am I focusing on the age to come? Number two, whose son or daughter am I? What voice am I following in this ongoing battle between flesh and spirit? Am I worshiping the God of the dead as my focus remains on the passing pleasures of this world, or do I worship the God of the living? And in doing so, am a child of eternity. Oh, good Christian, this is not our home. Let us not be distracted by all the things of this passing world. Let us walk in the light of the Spirit, following Jesus, so that He can guide us to our true home. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living, I'm Father Chapin. And remember, if you don't have faith, you don't have a prayer. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.